This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hi, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zeoli Show. And do us a big favor, please. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribing always helps. Tell your friends. Enjoy the podcast.
Rich Zeoli Show Podcast.
I am very proud to announce today that we have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government. As everyone knows, I have a very powerful alternative, but I didn't want to use it at this time. Hopefully, it will be unnecessary. In a short while, I will sign a bill to open our government for 3 weeks until February 15th. I will make sure that all employees receive their back pay very quickly or as soon as possible. It'll happen fast.
Okay, your thoughts on this? React to it, 855-839-1210. The reaction's been all over the place today, as you can imagine. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Let's see here. A number of people are upset, and a number of people think it's a good move. So what do you think? 855-839-1210. I also want to play for you this. Let's see here now. James Clapper, who's a notorious liar. He was the director of National Intelligence. He's a liar, and he should be in prison because he lied to Congress. He lied to Congress about all of us being spied on by them. Anyway, today, discussing the Roger Stone indictment. Cut to.
Based on these series of communications that Stone was having with senior Trump campaign officials, often in advance of WikiLeaks releases, emails stolen, we know, by Russia, what does that show to you? Is that evidence, in your view, of coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia?
Well, it does to me. I say that not as an attorney, but just as a layman. And I think clearly it does show a connection. Coordination, synchronization, whatever you want to call it. And I might just mention something that I wrote about in my book, which is the striking parallels and similarities between what the Russians were saying and doing and what the Trump campaign was saying and doing, particularly and specifically about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, this is important to understand here what this guy says. Nothing in the Roger Stone indictment, nothing is about anything other than a process crime, which is what Alan Dershowitz was talking about earlier today. But Clapper's not a lawyer. He's also not very smart, and he's also a giant liar. Now, a couple of other points here I want to make for you with regarding Roger Stone here. Roger Stone had a little bit of a moment today outside of court after this notorious and very dangerous man was arrested at gunpoint today by heavily armed federal agents in tactical gear. He was released from prison or jail, which is amazing to me, knowing how dangerous he is to all mankind. And he spoke today, cut five.
I will plead not guilty to these charges. I will defeat them in court. I believe this is a politically motivated investigation. I am troubled by the political motivations of the prosecutors. And as I have said previously, there is no circumstance whatsoever under which I will bear false witness against the president, nor will I make up lies to ease the pressure on myself. I look forward to being fully and completely vindicated.
All right, there you go. Somehow they let him out of shackles and chains, even though he's such a dangerous, dangerous man. CNN, I want to play this again. This is the audio from the raid. This is the audio of the FBI knocking, okay? CNN just happened to show up. They were in the neighborhood. They were driving around and around looking for a good story. And then they went, oh, look, the FBI outside someone's house. Oh, it's Roger Stone's house. You don't say. What a coincidence. And here we are, CNN. Why don't we set up our cameras and cover this? Because it was a coincidence, Dawn. I know you think that they were tipped off, and then that's why they had the video crew, and that's why they were ready to roll. But I think it's just that CNN has trucks in every neighborhood in America at all times, just driving around looking for news. All times.
Yeah, right.
And they just stumbled upon this.
And they just pay So they just pay all that money to, you know, union videographers. And this one, Gilbert de la Rosa, he's a big deal. So they got, they keep saying his name. Why? Because they got, Gil, can you work an overnight? We're doing this stakeout. So, of course, it was all, yeah.
It was, Gil, listen, I'll buy you a steak dinner at Arby's if you just drive around with me over and over again trying to find some news. All right, this is the audio of the raid that CNN just happened to be in the neighborhood for.
When the FBI yelled, the audio that you caught on the microphones where they say, FBI, open the door, and then the next thing they say, well, I'll play it for you, and then I want to ask you a question about it. Listen to this audio.
FBI, open the door!
That second thing they say is FBI warrant. Do you have any sense on whether that was an arrest warrant or a search warrant, and whether or not they are now inside his home searching for things?
Yeah, Allison, you can actually see behind me, that's the block where it all happened. There's a minimal police presence now. When we were first here this morning, there were maybe about a half dozen police vehicles that were here for that. We believe it must have been an arrest warrant because it was taken into custody shortly after you heard that FBI agent say warrant. Now, it's unclear to us if they're still there. There are some indications that maybe the law enforcement is not at his house right now, as just by the fact that we're not seeing flashing lights, but we're obviously now about 100 yards up the street. They moved us back literally in the middle of that arrest, so we're not able to see what's going on in that house right now, but I can tell you that the law enforcement operation here has scaled down immensely. We know Roger Stone is not here anymore. He was taken away maybe about a half an hour after that arrest, and now we know there is a court appearance later this morning where we'll be at least.
Well, thank God. Now everybody in the neighborhood can rest. You can let your children out again to go out and play. The monster is in captivity. They got him. Hannibal Lecter, they got him. Half dozen vehicles for Roger Stone.
And this is an exclusive. So Chad Johnson is his next door neighbor. He's the former NFL wide receiver who played for the Patriots and the Dolphins, so on and so forth. And he's like tweeting out about it, going, I've never seen this stuff. And right before my morning jog, and he's like, this stuff happens in the movies. So the neighbors, this is a pretty, high-level neighborhood. They don't usually see this stuff.
They had no idea a serial killer was living among them. They had no idea El Chapo was their neighbor. And once they took him away, the police presence calmed down because the bad man was in chains and shackles. It's unbelievable. Roger Stone, who's been in studio with me. You know, he tried to kill me.
He did. Yeah.
He tried to kill me.
I had to hold him back.
He kidnapped three children while he was here and sold 8 kilos of cocaine.
Yep.
So he's a bad man.
I was afraid for my life.
A dangerous, dangerous man. Dawn, do you know what else they found in his house? They found a woman in the oven, six bottles of human skulls.
Bottles.
Bottles, yeah, like the old, like you put a ship in, but it's
jars,
a skull. There was a woman in a pit with a dog. She was a senator's daughter, Dawn, and she's in the pit, and she's got a dog, and she became very attached to this little dog. This little fluffy little dog. They found this in the house.
Little fluffy dog.
So,
this is he lives in the upscale Finger.
Do you have
islands.
Audio of that, Greg?
I believe
oh, you
I have.
Do?
Oh,
you do.
I have
of the girl they rescued.
Audio from that. Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
This is what. This is Roger Stone. It's a monster, Dawn. This is why you need tactical gear and weapons drawn and six vehicles and silent sirens. What? Because you cannot allow a man like this to just leave and escape. Also, did you know that Roger Stone has the power of invisibility? You think I'm wrong? Those pajamas are invisible clothes, uniform. So what happens, Dawn, you see, is that the FBI was there to arrest him, and all of a sudden you see the pajamas in a pile, or you see the pajamas walking. Ah, the old invisible trick again. That's why they had to bring all those guys, Dawn. Sorry, you were saying.
Oh, no, I was just describing where he lives. It's the Finger Islands. You have to say it like a little ferry boat.
It's called that because of how many human fingers they've discovered in that neighborhood of killers.
Not many people know that.
Right. Yeah. The Finger neighborhood?
The Finger Islands. The little islands.
That's good. The government gave him the middle finger today with 18 different guys and cars. Yeah. But the Finger Islands, because it's in water, I assume, right?
So they're little islands. You take a little ferry boat over there. And so it's, I mean, these are million-dollar places. The neighbors are all famous people or connected people, that sort of thing. It's not... It's not like your Miami drug, bad, dangerous area. And, you know, the feds, they do surveillance. They know exactly who's in that house. They've been doing surveillance on the house.
Well, obviously, they raided today with the tactical gear on because Roger Stone took over someone's house.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happened.
It wasn't his house. Yeah, he had captives in there.
For like a book signing, like a dangerous, violent book signing or something.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that in the movies, you go in, the family's tied up in the basement, and he goes, I'm living here now. That's why they did that. This is the CNN producer. Let's start with this now. We're going to go through all of this. This is really amazing stuff here. David Shortell describes the moment that Roger Stone was taken into custody by the FBI.
Allison, an extraordinary moment. We were here at 5 a.m. waiting for whatever was going to happen. It was dark, 6 a.m., just after the hour. About a half dozen police vehicles with sirens, but no sound. Silent sirens pull in front of
silent
this
Fort Lauderdale
home, where Roger Stone was presumably asleep. The lights were off in the house. About a dozen officers...
This guy, hang on a second. This guy, Roger Stone is so dangerous, the sirens couldn't even make a noise. They were so scared of him. Roger Stone is so dangerous that the sirens were like, we're not making any noise here. We don't want him to know we're here. He might shoot us out. Silent Sirens, Dawn, which was my my Debbie Gibson cover band in high school.
You had a Debbie Gibson cover band?
I did. I didn't tell you about that.
No,
I made some
didn't.
Money. We are Silent Sirens. I feel for that should be more of like a Styx band or
police.
NXS.
The police cover
police
band.
Could be good. That could be. Oh, yeah. Very nice. We are Silent Sirens. Okay. Let's keep going.
Dozen officers, FBI agents wearing tactical vests and with large weapons, fanned out across his front lawn. One went up to the house and rapped on the door, shined a flashlight inside, said, FBI, open the door. Moments later, as you heard in the video, it said, FBI warrant. That's what the agent said. We then saw a light go on the second floor. And moments later, there was Roger Stone in the doorway. That was our video exclusively you saw shot by Gil De La Rosa. An extraordinary arrest here in Fort Lauderdale.
I'm coming, Mom! I'm coming, Mom! That's what he did at the end. Roger Stone. I may not have that right. That may not be accurate there. Silent Sirens, Dawn. Silent Sirens.
Silent Sirens.
Listen to the sound of silent sirens. It's the new Simon and Garfunkel hit. Cut number nine. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, come on.
System problems again.
We were being moved away as it was happening. We were trying to bring you as much as we could as it was happening. We saw Roger Stone come to the door, obscured by an FBI agent. He was not wearing his usual attire, which is, as we know, these fancy suits. He was in sleepwear. He had his glasses on. He did say, yes, I'm Roger Stone. And then we were moved before we saw them actually take him into custody. But many lights, heavy weaponry. They were taking him away for what we now know is a pretty hefty indictment.
Could you hear Roger Stone saying anything? Was there any kind of discussion between the agents and Roger Stone?
The agent asked him, are you Roger Stone? And he confirmed yes. That was the extent of the discussion that we were able to overhear from our perch before we were moved. But it was friendly. As you know, some of these warrants, these arrests, these middle of the night operations like this don't always go smoothly. This went very smoothly. The operators, the FBI agents, fanned out across his lawn silently before they shined that flashlight in and then first started shouting, FBI, open the door. Roger Stone appeared to surrender without any issue.
Well, that's a good thing, because otherwise they would have all been taken by Roger Stone. It's fun to joke about this stuff because it keeps us sane, but the truth is that it's dangerous and scary what the FBI did today. What Mueller did, it's totalitarian police state crap is what it is. Roger Stone is a guy who is not a threat to anybody on the planet. Some moron called before and said he's associated with WikiLeaks. The hell is he even talking about with that? But that's the spin today. Well, WikiLeaks, so they had to come in and raid him. The guy's worked for presidents. He's not suspected of a violent crime. He's not suspected of kidnapping or murder or dealing large-scale drugs. He's arrested for process crimes. Why couldn't they have called Roger Stone's attorney and said he has till noon to turn in, to turn himself in, which he would have? I mean, he absolutely, he's a free man right now. They let him out, so they clearly didn't think he was a flight risk because he's out. He's out of jail. And clearly they didn't think he's that dangerous to everybody in the world because he's out and he has access now to weapons and knives and who else? What else? Who knows? Roger Stone, what they did today with the idea of the tactical gear and the guns drawn and everything else like this, it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous. Large firing, large-scale weaponry, and using this military equipment was a symbol, a signal to everybody. Everybody to be very afraid of Robert Mueller. That's what this was about today. And the president should call the FBI director and call him into the Oval Office and say, I'd like to understand something. Why did you think Roger Stone was such a threat to justify this kind of show today? What is it? I want to know. Do you have some intelligence that Roger Stone had weapons in there, that Roger Stone had a hostage in there? I'm curious as to why a man who has no criminal history, who's not a threat, who's not wanted for any sort of serious violent offense, you felt the need to send your agents in there in tactical gear with six vehicles and silent sirens. Who tipped off CNN? I think the president should ask that question today to his FBI director, Christopher Wray. That's what I'd like to know. 855-839-1210. But it's, you know, there are some scenes in movies where the ending is a bad guy shooting the hell out of everybody and he's not going to be taken in alive. That's not Roger Stone. He was happy to go and happy to make a big show outside the courthouse. Happy to do it. Happy to do it. He knew he was going to be indicted at some point. He wasn't trying to leave. He wasn't trying to run away. Roger Stone predicted he was going to be indicted. So this is silly. All right, now this is a little bit more of the CNN producer today. How did you know? Actually, are we done with cut nine? We're done with cut nine, right?
Yes.
We're done with that?
Okay. Yeah,
we're done with that. CNN producer, how did you know to be there? How did CNN know to be there? Okay, cut 10.
When the FBI takes this approach, it's because they think there's a possibility of the arrest not going smoothly. I mean, that's why they take all of those precautions. But what's so fascinating...
Listen to Allison Camerota just completely justify the FBI here. This is what I love. Allison Camerota just completely justifying the FBI showing up in their tactical gear, weapons drawn, and all these vehicles. That's it. Not questioning it. Oh, yeah, because they think the arrest may go wrong. Does anybody really think Roger Stone was going to give them a hard time today? What was he going to do? A suicide vest under his pajamas? 5:30 in the morning? All right, go ahead.
When the FBI takes this approach, it's because they think there's a possibility of the arrest not going smoothly.
Or they want to grandstand, or they want to scare the hell out of everybody and remind them who's in charge. You know, Allison, there's also that. They do that, too. They perp walk to grandstand. They perp walk to remind everybody who's in charge. Part of the reason why, and I won't mention any names, certain former U.S. attorneys are not in the White House now, is because they chose to put shackles and chains on Charles Kushner to perp walk him. So, you know, sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's also about a theatrical exercise, Allison Camerota. Go ahead.
I mean, that's why they take all of those precautions. But what's so fascinating is that we've talked to his attorney. The attorney didn't know this was coming. Clearly, Roger Stone didn't know this was coming. You were staked out at his house. You didn't know that this was coming. Why were you there in position?
Allison, it's reporter's instinct. The whole Russia team thought maybe something was happening. There was some unusual grand jury activity in Washington, D.C. yesterday. The grand jury, Robert Mueller's grand jury, typically meets on Fridays. Yesterday, a Thursday, there was grand jury activity. We also had some other signs that maybe something was going on this angle, the Roger Stone angle. So we showed up at his house this morning. We were the only ones there. And lo and behold, the FBI agents did come and arrest him. I'll make a note.
What do you
when
know?
When Paul Manafort... President Trump's former campaign director was arrested, he surrendered at an FBI field office in Washington.
Hmm.
He walked in the front door with his lawyers, and that was in the morning around 8 or 9 a.m. I was there as well for that surrender. This, very different.
Interesting. So they let Manafort surrender with his attorney, which is standard in cases like this, but with Roger Stone, a raid on his house. FBI! Like he's James Gunn. That's his name, right? Hannibal Lecter? I mean, the Buffalo Bill? Jamie Gunn? He had several different aliases. What do you think, Dawn? Reporter's instinct? They just happened to be there.
I'm calling BS.
Calling BS on that?
By the way, last summer, his wife, Nydia, tweeted out, his wife of many, many years, tweeted out that her husband would not be indicted until Mueller pressures witnesses for answers he wants, harass and intimidates them with the full force of the FBI at his back. He couldn't prove collusion, so he'll try to embarrass and humiliate my husband. She tweeted that out last August.
Well, she was very prophetic.
Yeah.
Because that's what this was designed to do today, to intimidate the crap out of Roger Stone. And everybody else, by the way.
Yes.
FBI! Really? He can't reuse the doorbell? What is that? What is that? That really bugs me. I'm sorry, but that bugs me the hell. Like, first of all, under the Constitution, he's an innocent person. Unless the FBI has reason to believe this guy is some sort of dangerous person behind the door, how about knocking or using the bell and going FBI? You can't say that? Why can't you say that? Go ahead. Play the knocking. Yeah.
FBI, open the door.
FBI, open the door. Look at me. How about FBI... Hi, we know you're not going to kill anybody, so we're here to give you a ride to the court. Did you bring enough guys? Did you bring enough guys? Enough guns? Enough bullets? Unbelievable. For Roger freaking Stone. Roger Stone at first was very scared because he thought it was the fashion police.
No, it's I'm just in my pajamas.
Dawn, he was very upset because he was in his pajamas. He thought the fashion police were finally going to take him in for all of his hideous outfits.
Well, hopefully they were the new jammies that he just got for Christmas.
Right.
You know, not the sort of worn out holy ones.
The jammies.
Do you know what happened after the FBI agent started knocking on the door? Roger Stone said, "You're not taking me alive, copper! To hell with all of you! I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, copper!" It was like the scene at the end of Bonnie and Clyde. That's what happened at Roger Stone's house today, Dawn. They were expecting that. Big shootout with him and his wife of all those years. Okay. Is that all the audio from CNN?
Yes, sir. We played everything.
There you go.
Four cuts.
Silent sirens. Silent sirens. 855-839-1210. Okay, more of your reaction on the president today, and... I think the audience is very split. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking around and I see a lot of people are very upset. A lot of people completely supportive of what the president did today. So where do you fall on this? Bob is in Haddonfield. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Rich. Great show as always, man.
Thank you.
I don't know what's in the water today, but I can't believe people think that this was a good thing by Trump. I mean, he really needed to pull a page out of the playbook of Reagan. And if the air traffic controller is going to walk out and you use your best sound effect, fire him. I mean, that's the way I see it. It's like if you don't want to do your job, there's a million other people that will take your job that are qualified. I don't understand it because I think it does weaken them in the end.
Yeah, I think the only leverage you ever have with these people is to make them believe you'll never back down and you're crazy and the entire government will fall apart if they don't give him what he wants. So that leverage has been taken away. I know people say, "Oh, next time," but I just don't know. I don't really buy that today.
And just like you've been saying, I mean, like my life hasn't been affected by it. I mean, I know I'm working and still getting a paycheck, but because the government shut down, I really don't care. They could have kept it shut down for another year for all I care.
The problem is, and this is the reason why we're never going to ever, ever, ever deal with our debt, our deficits, and the size of this federal government, because now we've made it about the workers and the people and how hard it is on them and the safety and the planes falling out of the sky and the food we eat and everything. We are never, ever going to cut the size of government. We won't be able to with that kind of mindset. We can't even close it for a month.
Yeah, and just one last thing before I get off. I think they might have stormed them with guns and all that because they thought maybe like a 70-year-old some man might throw depends at them. I mean, I'm not quite sure, but I mean, I think they were scared of that, really.
Loaded depends. if you know what I mean.
Exactly. You know, depend hand grenades out the second floor window.
Thank you, sir. Have a good weekend, Bob. Appreciate it. Let's see. Pat is in Jersey. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Rich. Hey, I think there is a positive thing on this. I have a theory. I'll make it very fast. Obviously, Trump will get his State of the Union. He can lay it out in front of the entire nation. Of course, Pelosi's going to be there behind him, and her sour face not clapping is going to be bad optics for the Democrats. Also, the furloughed people will take a shine to Trump because he's the guy that got them running and back to work again, getting paychecks. And here's the thing. What happens in 3 weeks that's different from today? The caravan that is coming up from Mexico is going to be crashing that border in 3 weeks. The government's going to shut down again. Nothing's going to change. The optics, the perfect storm of, okay, we got a crisis going on. The Democrats don't care about you, the border, your paychecks, and we got a crisis. I think it's kind of genius, actually. Well, you have any thoughts on that?
I think you're doing a good job of defending this position. You should probably consider working on the campaign. You're good. You're very good. I mean that in all seriousness. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I mean, you're very, very good. It's spin. And that's a high compliment for me, by the way. I don't often say that.
Oh, well, thank you.
I don't agree, because I think the problem is, first of all, Democrats are always going to be sitting on their hands, and bad optics mean nothing to them. Number two, there was a caravan last time. They didn't care. And number three, when the government, if the president doesn't hold firm the next time, then they're all going to hate his guts. So at some point, they hate him. So I don't know how it's genius. I don't know how it's genius to do this. If the president declares a national emergency, it's going to wind up in court, so you're not going to get the border that way. I think, if anything, he's lost the only leverage he had, which is to make them think he's so crazy, he'll never open the government again. And I think that's gone right now.
I follow that logic. I just think public opinion has a lot of weight, obviously. And with the optics of a crisis at the border coinciding with, well, you heard what I mentioned about the, okay, you guys didn't even pull through on your deal a second time now, even though we put, you know, whatever the word is.
I understand. Yeah, it's you know, we gave you 3 weeks. You said open the government, we'll negotiate. We did that, and you didn't come to the table. You didn't give us what we want. We're shutting down the government. Absolutely. And look, that is why I'm not going crazy today, and I'm not, you know, Ann Coulter and all these other. My question is how you recover from the loss of the hand of them thinking you're crazy and you'll never reopen the government. Other people have suggested, and I think it's a good point, which is that with the government now reopened, Democrats have said they will now negotiate. They wouldn't negotiate with the government closed, and now it's open. So it's on them if they do not come up with something, because now the government's reopened. All right? So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens, Pat.
All right. We certainly will. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Have a good weekend, my friend. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. I mean that. He's very good. Very good with his political messaging there. A lot of people feel the president back down today. Others think that he made a great decision. How do you feel? 855-839-1210. You know, you can be somebody who also looks at this with a very, very cautious approach without having to go, you know, nuclear on this either. There's also a middle ground on that point. But I know people today, they're saying they're done. It's over. This is a capitulation and they're done. And other people are saying, no, it had to happen because of Super Bowl and State of the Union address and on and on. There's my opinion is this. There's always going to be a timing issue. There's always going to be a reason why the government has to be reopened. There's always going to be people without paychecks. There's always going to be safety and security issues. None of that is ever going to change, ever. It's not going to change in 3 weeks if the government shuts down again. And my opinion is the only thing that happened today, the president lost what I think he had, which is them thinking he's nuts and he'll never open the government. So, you know, I understand a lot of people have said, yeah, this shows that he's willing to compromise. This shows him as being a statesman. That's the thing, though. I don't want him looking like a statesman. I want him looking here like he will keep that government shut down indefinitely unless the Democrats give him what he wants from a strategy perspective. Me personally, you know, I've told you a million times, the wall's not my big thing, so I don't really care that much in terms of if the wall doesn't happen. I'm still voting for the guy because there's so many other things that motivate me as a voter. I'm just being honest with you. That's not my thing. I've been very clear with you about that even during the campaign. But there are other people who I would say they're border wall absolutists. And they're furious today. My point on him with it's a tactical point is my point that I'm making. I disagree on the tactics of this. I think tactically speaking, it's a mistake to show the Democrats you're ever willing to have empathy for the federal workers and everything. Look, people have said, nope, because now people, the nation will look at him as a statesman. I don't think anybody out there is changing their opinion on Donald Trump. I think if you like Donald Trump, you're always going to like him. If you hate him, you're never going to change your mind on that. Unfortunately, that's where we are. I don't believe there's a lot of people out there who can be manipulated in terms of their feelings for this man. I don't. Not many, at least. Obviously, no rule is ever universal. So the point is, you just got to make sure your coalition's there in 2020. That's it. So tactically speaking is where I come from. I want to make that point very clear. Because, you know, I get emails, you know, you're too hard on him. Listen, I'm telling you because I want the guy to succeed. It's not because I'm going to go to sleep at night angry that I'm not getting my wall. It's different for me. I look at these things from a tactical perspective, and I think tactically this is a mistake. I hope I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm wrong. 855-839-1210. Charles is in Camden. Charles, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rich, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I think there's a way all sides can win on this issue. Let me explain to you. First of all, if the president takes this to a national emergency, the Democrats should not chase him into court with it. Let him have it, right? Mm-hmm. That way they're not giving him the money, which is what they want, right? Their whole issue is it costs too much. So he'll get the money from other places. They won't capitulate by giving him the money. He'll be getting the money from someplace else. But if they chase him into court, now it looks like it's something other than the money. Now, you know what it looks like? It looks like, remember when Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to that restaurant and they didn't let her in, and then she went across the street and they chased her across the street? I mean, if you don't want her in your restaurant, that's one thing. But if you're going to chase her across the street to another restaurant, that made me angry. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my thought about it, just let them take it to an emergency, get the emergency money, build the wall. That way the Democrats can say, well, we didn't give him the wall. He had to go, you know, make it an emergency to get the wall, and he'll still get the wall. Everybody wins.
Yeah, I think you're being very, very optimistic, Charles, and I don't want to, take away all the fun on a Friday, but here's the deal. The minute that national emergency is declared, a federal judge is going to put an injunction on it. Not the minute, but very, very soon. It's going to be there's going to be a court battle over it.
Yeah, but that has to come from a motion, doesn't it? From the other side, they're not going to just do it, automatically by the court.
No, a judge will do it. Somebody will file something. Somebody will file something in some circuit, and then a judge will put an injunction on it.
Yeah,
and it's going to go to court.
I'm with you on that, but they have to resist that temptation because if they don't, then it becomes something other than just the money, and then they're it becomes something else.
All right. Well, I think that. Your point about them looking bad on that, Charles, absolutely right. They do. I just don't think they care because I think they're worried about their base. But thanks, my friend. Have a good weekend. I appreciate it. Look, I don't like the idea that the courts get to decide these matters. I've told you that a million times. I don't like that idea at all. But the truth is, the idea of a national emergency doesn't get us the wall any faster. I can't say that enough. And I'm glad today Rush finally said that as well. Because of the problem with the courts, and that is a big issue on this. Yeah, I wish we had a place where the court said, look, this is executive authority. We say out of it, Congress, if you don't like it, you know, override it. Just override it, which they have the power to do. But we don't live in that time. We live in a time where the courts are in everything. Drives me crazy. And you know, as well as I do, this is going to the Supreme Court. You know it. I know it. That horse is out of the barn long, long time ago. And that process is not quick. I think the Democrats would love him to declare a national emergency and get on with their life. Richard's in Havertown. Richard, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to make two comments, one on Roger Stone. Roger Stone had said this was Soviet style, and I think the purpose of the way the FBI was doing this was multifold. One, to show that the deep state is in control, just as the deep state is in control with the Census Bureau and is eliminating the questionnaire for they just won in court for not having citizenship on the question. They're also going to win. That's what they want to do. They want to show that they're in control and that the elected officials are not in control. And secondly, and as a corollary to that, when you're talking about the wall, I think listening to both sides as to why the president submitted to the 3-week wait was not so much. I think his situation was, you're right, he appeared to be crazy. That's good for his base, but he has a small middle ground that he needs to appeal to. But you have said many times that the election will be decided by a very small minority. They either love him or they hate him. Those few people that actually love him will stay with him in general. But there's a middle ground. And how do you capture that middle ground? Well, you don't capture it by being crazy. You don't capture it by being not conciliatory. So I think this might have been a strategic move based on the fact that he felt that the polls, which I don't have access to, you may, showed him losing support. And he didn't want to do that. And I think that middle ground, and I think he's playing a gamble. It's a very high stakes, high risk gamble. I agree with you thoroughly. This is a very high risk gamble to gamble on your base. But on the other hand, it gives him 3 weeks to gather momentum, gather different ideas, and work with his own team to fight for what he wants, which is the wall. And it also is going to make Nancy Pelosi, and if you've ever, and you're married, I'm married, when you get into an argument with a wife, it's very difficult to win once her mind is set up. And I think that's what he's feeling. She was not going to give in because her base didn't let her. Well, now he has an opportunity to make his base, especially the it girl, who's going crazy with her socialism. If you've been watching Davos, you've seen the executives say no, no to the 70% tax over there in Europe. He's gathering his steam. He's playing his cards. And I think that maybe that other gentleman that you said was speaking about how he was working it. I think there's more here than you and I know. So I don't know how you feel, but you tell me.
Well, I look, your point about the middle, and you're absolutely right, and you said it correctly, this is a gamble, because you can't gamble with your base. And that is the thing that, you know, you look at Breitbart, you look at Ann Coulter, you have a lot of other people today who are saying, I'm done, that's it, I'm done. You just have to hope that they're just venting and they don't really mean it, Richard, as you said. All right, buddy, thank you very much for the call. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Jack's in Bridgeport. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'd just like to say that we were told that the Mexicans were going to pay for the wall. And I'm not going to get over this because that was his campaign promise. Now he wants us all to pay for it. He shut the government down for it. It's all a symbol to him. How about the fact he goes into a room with Putin and he comes out and he has the notes that whatever they said, he destroyed. How can you people be for this guy?
Okay.
I think he's a traitor to our country.
Very good.
Something's going on.
All right. Let me ask you a quick question. When did he ever say Mexico was going to pay cash or write a check for the wall?
They had him on tape. I knew you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
They showed him saying, he did say that. He said, I will have them write a check out. That's exactly what he said. So don't start turning this around to where he didn't say that.
I don't have to turn it around because I was there in the room when when he said that Mexico was going to pay for it through a variety of different ways, including trade deals.
Come on. You really think they're going to pay for it in trade deals?
I'm saying I know he said that for a fact because I was there. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Go ahead. Go back to watch MSNBC. He keeps saying he's a traitor. Where's the evidence that he's a traitor? He just sided with Venezuela. I mean, against Venezuela by recognizing a new president, which ticked off Russia. And now Russia's warning us. And they sent nuclear ships down there and nuclear planes to Venezuela because the president and this government is siding against Maduro. So don't tell me he's a Russian traitor. Because if he is, he's the worst Russian puppet ever. I imagine Jerome Corsi will be indicted next. Because he's person number one in the Roger Stone indictment. But he says he won't be charged. But I don't put anything past Robert Mueller. So my question is, Jerome Corsi, I believe, is 72 years old. He lives in North Jersey. 72 years old. My question is, how many armed tactical guys will they send in for him, you think?
Well, how many did they send in for Stone? 12?
There were at least 12. There were 6 vehicles, tactical gear, and weapons drawn.
So 72, he should probably get, what, 17?
17? Yeah, probably 17. Yeah. Jerome Corsi, very dangerous.
Because with more age comes more experience, so therefore he'll,
be a better shot.
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden had 22 law enforcement officers. Great. So 22. Wow.
What a great pull by Don.
Wow, outstanding. Outstanding.
Wow. Oh,
how many did they use to get John Dillinger? That's what I'm curious about. How many did the FBI use there?
I will look. But I know for a fact Osama had 22.
22, huh? Yep. Wow.
Including the SEALs and other.
So Roger Stone almost had as many as Osama bin Laden. That's got to make you feel good about yourself, right?
Oh, my God.
If you're him, you're like, hey, look at me. I'm that dangerous. I'm a badass. I am a badass.
Knowing him, though, because we've all met him, there's a part of him that kind of loved the drama. There's
a part of him. All of him loved the drama. Every ounce of him loved the drama.
He's like, this is a book.
Yeah, he's a walking drama is what he is. And he's a spin master like nobody else.
He got to leave court and give the Nixon peace signs. He loved that.
Oh, he's loving this. Are you kidding me? And he loved the fact, by the way, that these guys came with tactical gear and guns. They played right into his hands. Yeah. If Mueller's team was smart, they would have just had him walk into a courthouse and surrender.
Yep.
But they're not smart, and that's the problem, because they went in there like this to intimidate him. Roger Stone now is going to be out there talking about how this is terrifying, a police state, it's Russia, it's communism, and plays right into his hands.
It's interesting, and his wife is Cuban-American. Her dad was a diplomat. They fled Cuba to America because of Castro. So if you look at her, she's a photojournalist and all that. She's behind him. She's from a pretty tough, background. So the two of them, I think, seem to be fired up by this more than anything.
Well, she said, this reminded me of Elian Gonzalez, is what she told everybody. And she said, my husband is not nearly as dangerous as that kid was.
No.
You know what else they discovered in Roger Stone's backyard today, Dawn?
Oh,
16
no.
bodies of drug cartel members and also an entire meth lab in his basement. Turns out he's actually, he's actually, what's his name? Heisenberg.
Heisenberg, yes.
Yeah.
He is.
He's the real Heisenberg. They had no idea, Dawn. No idea.
No clue.
What they were getting today.
Oh, God.
All right. Tom is in Tom's River. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Listen, Nancy Pelosi already said no wall, no how. They'll never negotiate a wall. And I hope Trump knows what he's doing when he's playing his cards in 3 weeks, because she's going to say, well, we agreed to negotiate on border security. We never said we were going to negotiate on border security and the wall. He's known before he opened up the government that we said no wall, no how, no way will ever be done. And I just think that's what's going to take place. They're never, ever going to give him this win or this victory of giving him the wall. They'll negotiate all the other stuff, but never a wall. And she's going to say, that's what we said. He knew that when he opened up the government.
Well, to your point, I certainly do hope he knows what he's doing, Tom. Thank you, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You got it. 855-839-1210. All right. Real fast, though. I gotta do this before we get out of here, because it's Friday, thank God. We need this weekend, big time. Mike, there were like 17 different news cycles today. 17 different news cycles. Can we just play the vampiric one last night, asking for applause for herself?
This is a little compilation that the American Mirror put together.
Thank you, Tom Cochran. That's an applause line. I'll let you know. With strong border security initiatives. This will be our 10th vote. Do you want to see? Let's hear it for border security.
Yeah.
The American
so spontaneous.
Elected a House majority that would. That's an applause line.
Do what I say.
Not for everybody, maybe.
Suck
and
your blood
in. Strengthen our democracy by passing the Equality Act. That is an act to end discrimination against LGBT community. There are two challenges, well, actually three, that I want to...
She can't even read. LGTB? What the hell is that? The LGTB community?
LG is her... Isn't that like a TV or refrigerator? TV?
Is that her new appliance company? LGTB?
Yeah. LGTB community.
The LGTB community.
LGBT. It's my LGBT.
LGBT community.
Yeah, I try to avoid their blood. I'm just not sure about that community. I don't know. I've heard LGBT stories.
Community.
Oh, my God.
Okay, there you go. That's an applause
LGBT
line.
LGBT community.
So bad. Oh, God.
You better give in to this woman. You don't want to be on the other side of that. All right, let's do it, Craig.
Yes. Who won Twitter? I'm going to give it to CJ Philly. CJ Philly, actually, it's a visual, so Dan pulled the audio for me. This was Roger Stone being taken.
Do you want to play rough? Okay. Say hello to my new friend.
Roger Stone.
Roger Stone.
Today, Don.
Okay.
Roger Stone.
Okay, right. Angelina.
CJ Philly wins Twitter.
Well done, CJ Philly. Well done. That Roger Stone audio was amazing. I tell you what, don't mess with Roger Stone, man. Next time, bring more guys. All right, Flemington Furs sponsors Who Won Twitter. Thank you, Flemington Furs. Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like.
Racioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.